ain't got nothing in the world these days.
All right, so it's come to my attention. It has come to my attention on this Friday that one of our important control room operators in New York has a hot date. Has a hot date, all right? So this is really important. And it dovetails into this important bit of social commentary we need to explore. And that is, why are marriage rates down? Keep down, New York. Pipe down. Big E. Big E's got a big date tonight. Big E. All right, so he's got a hot date tonight. But the headline, why are marriage rates down? The study blames a lack of economically attractive men. Economically attractive men. You know, when I see a headline that like that, I know I'm not allowed to use thoughts like gold digger, because that would be inappropriate, and it would give the wrong impression of what people are looking for in marriage. And I think that would be, you know, shameful for me to say such a thing. So I won't say gold digger. But marriage rates have steadily declined over the past few decades, and now researchers from Cornell University offering a possible explanation. There just aren't enough economically attractive men, men with enough cash in their pockets to pull off the deal to say, hey, let's do this. Let's run off and live happily ever after with all the money in my pocket. Previous studies had attempted to answer why marriage rates are on the decline, but most focused solely on gender ratio discrepancies as opposed to looking into specific socioeconomic characteristics that make a particular man or woman a good match. And E, I want you to keep that in mind. I do. I'm rooting for you. I want you to keep that in mind, you know, on that big romantic adventure tonight. Work hard, make something of yourself, and you're more likely to get married. That's the takeaway. That's the moral of this story. All right, let's go to some medical news, shall we? Medical news. The first long-distance heart surgery has been performed by robot. Now, let me ask you something. You're going in, and you're going to have surgery done. You're going under the knife. Yeah, you're going under the, and your doctor isn't in the room. Your doctor is in Sydney, Australia. And they've got this robotic system run by computers. There might be a nurse in the room. There might be an anesthesiologist in the room. But your doctor, your surgeon, is halfway around the planet. How do you feel about that? How do you feel? I mean, what does that give you comfort? Or does that give you pause going, now, wait a second. I've got a computer. You know, what am I, a computer game? At any rate, the first long-distance heart surgery has been done by robot. A doctor in India performed a series of five PCI procedures on patients who were 20 miles away from him. The feat was pulled off using a precision vascular robot developed by Corindus. The results of the surgeries, which were successful, have just been published in eClinical Medicine. It is the wave of the future. It is the wave of the future. In fact, I have a relative working for a robotic surgical company. They make machines like this in America, high-end machines, called the Da Vinci system. And so robotic surgery is fairly common for many practices now, but how do you feel about not having your surgeon in the room? It's not like you're awake anyway. Does it matter to you? Does it give you concern, I suppose? I'd like to know your thoughts on that. Give me a note. Drop me a line, stevegruber.com, the place to do that. How comfortable do you feel by allowing a surgeon somewhere outside of the building? Could be a mile away or 10,000 miles away. Does that make you, I mean, and what if you have an internet problem? Oh, I'm sorry. The internet just went down. Really? We're having heart surgery here. No big deal. The internet went down. I mean, the technical issues, the infrastructure, kind of critical at that point in your life, don't you think? Yeah. I don't know. There's a thunderstorm. I think, you know, we got a little, you know, a little rain fade there. What happened? Oh, you know, took off his left leg, not his right. It's rain fade. Sorry, sir. It's just a mistake on our part. Technology, not quite what we thought. And here's another bit of medical news for you. For those of you that want to take a trip and never leave the farm. Johns Hopkins is opening a new psychedelic research center studying the use of magic mushrooms and a whole lot more. There you go. Yeah, there you go. That got New York fired up. Yeah, baby. Magic mushrooms. Johns Hopkins launching this new psychedelic research center where scientists will test the potential of so-called magic mushrooms and other drugs to treat some of the toughest mental and addiction challenges. Let me get this right. You're addicted to substances. Here, try these mushrooms. Maybe this will help you. Doesn't that seem counterintuitive? Just a thought. The center made this announcement this week. It is believed to be the first center in the United States and the largest in the world to focus on drugs, still better known as symbols of the 1960s counterculture and the drug culture of America and the world. The Center for Psychedelic and Consciousness Research at Johns Hopkins Medicine, being funded by $17 million and a donation from a group of private donors. Hey, man, try this. All right, dude. We're in. Yeah. You feeling better? Yeah, man. Since federal, I'm doing the best I can here to keep it together. Since federal funding cannot be used for such research, the center had to be privately funded. And that is what has happened. The Hopkins Center research will focus on applications of the drugs for treating opioid addiction, Alzheimer's disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, eating disorders, depression, and many other issues as well. The psychedelics are a fascinating class of compounds, said Roland Griffiths, with a dirty little smile on his face. The center's director and a professor of behavioral biology in the Hopkins School of Medicine. They procure unique and profound change in consciousness. Yes, yes, they do. I mean, I read that somewhere. I read that somewhere. How the hell would I know? The center will allow us to expand on research to develop new treatments for a wide variety of psychiatric disorders. It'll also allow us to extend on past research in healthy people and improve their sense of well-being. Well, they're going to giggle a lot. It's going to be funny. Why is the wall breathing? That is so weird to me. At any rate, that's going on with Johns Hopkins. Now you're up to date on your medical news here on the program. You got a smile on your face yet? Because, well, I do. It's 51 after on a Friday. Still to come on the program today, we're going to have Brock Palmbush here to check in on sports. Professional football underway, if you didn't know. Professional football got the toe in the ball yesterday. Plus Congressman Tim Walberg of Michigan and so much more straight ahead on the Steve Gruber Show.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.